This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you tune in to Bar None. My name is Daryl Ong, and this week the badminton world was rocked with allegations of match fixing with two professional Malaysian shuttlers implicated. Both players faced six charges of match fixing during six different championships between 2013 and 2016. But many questions continue to linger on how BWF knew about this and not the BA of Malaysia. Also, is there an attempt to discredit independent players who do not train with the BA of Malaysia? Alongside Harish Deo, in the studio today, I have Badminton Asia Chief Operating Officer Kenny Goh and former world number one champion Wong Chun Han to give their thoughts. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you for inviting.
Just generally off the bat, how has this match fixing scandal impacted the integrity of the badminton world?
Anything that has to do with match fixing is definitely not good for the game. Although this is the first case, but it definitely brings bad publicity and bad reputation to the sport. I've said this before and I'm going to say it again, that match fixing for a long term will never be good for the sport, especially. You must understand, in the international sports, basically sports are competing with other sports, okay? And therefore, if match fixing is prevalent in badminton, it will be definitely be not good in the long run.
Kenny, you said that this is the first match fixing case, but those in the industry keep saying that match fixing has been in the sport for a long, long time. What are your thoughts about that?
Yes, we definitely hear a lot of match fixing cases, yeah. But it's all hearsay. But I believe this is the first time that actually there are players that are brought to trial or brought to hearing. Mm. So I would consider the first case that is brought to hearing.
For the record.
Yeah, for the record. Yeah.
Chukan, how about from a player's perspective?
Well, I think, of course, definitely it will... any case of match fixing will always tarnish the image of the sports. But nevertheless... It's an effort from BWF to try their best to start somewhere and take action and send out a very loud message to the world of badminton and also to the players and those in the industry that match fixing should have no place in the world of badminton. And I think that's a very encouraging move for them to act on it, even though it's a very tough move.
I think just to add on to what Chun Han have said about BWF, I think we have to give credit to BWF in terms of what action that they have taken to curb this match fixing. They have started this, what you call the whistleblower. So that these are one of the many methods they have done. Mm. They have also started basically like match fixing campaign among players. Mm-hmm. They have very nice slogan, I am clean, I am badminton. Yeah. And then they get players to be participating in these campaigns. So yeah. These are definitely good initiatives by BWF. However, I feel more can be done by the BWF, especially right. In terms of engaging the media. I feel BWF is pretty lacking in engaging the media. I have some experience with BWF as well, where they tend to not engage the media and they try to keep such cases away from the media. They would not want to share much information with the media.
Is there a reason for that?
I really do not understand why they do that, but media being media, you guys, the less we talk to you, the more you want to dig, right? And the more you feel that, oh, something is wrong. They must be hiding something. So I think they have to be media. I don't know there's such word as media smart, but I guess they have to be pretty media smart on this. Sometimes you can engage them by not telling too much, you know? Of course, there are some information that cannot be shared, definitely. I'm an administrator myself. I know some things we just cannot share. But I think it is how you engage the media. And media can play in a role in this to help BWF in curbing this match fixing or even doping case.
Yeah. I agree with Kenny about BWF not engaging the media like how it's supposed to be. The effective communication is not there. But having said that, you mentioned earlier, Kenny, that BWF has initiated a lot of campaigns. with regards to
I have to give credit to. Definitely a good good move.
But that's BWF. Have those campaigns trickled down to your national bodies? Because I don't see the BA of Malaysia initiating such campaigns. Even if they do, it's very quiet on their part.
I wouldn't want to comment on the National Federation, whether they have done that or not. But I think for us in Badminton Asia, we have done in whatever way we can to support BWF in this. Even our recent Asian Team Championship in Alostar, the E-Plus Asian Team Championship, we had I Am Badminton campaign, which is part of BWF campaign. And we get all the players, we get all the National Federation officials to be part of the campaign. They sign on the board. The board is made public, you know. They sign on it. We do a bit of media engagement on it. So, I don't know if you can we say that the National Federation is part of the campaign because they were there. We involved them as well. So, but whether the National Federation consciously have their own campaign, I guess that would be really up to the National Federation initiative.
Mm. Yeah. Chung Han, considering this is the first case, you know, in match fixing that BWF is actually taking on, how rampant is match fixing in the world of badminton, you know, or is this just a one-off kind of thing?
Well, I believe this will always be a continuous battle between the match fixer and the administrator. From BWF, from the national body, from within the players, it's a fight between this match fixer and the integrity of a human being, of players.
Right.
Yeah, I think what we just talked about, all the campaign, actually, the objective is to create an awareness and also to create the pride and identity of a players of an athlete. As a general rule, that we always should uphold the integrity and the pride as a players. That the job as a players, professional players, as a national players, is always to bring glory to the country. And you are not just carrying your own name. Instead, every time you're on the court, you're on the battlefield. It's always you're carrying more the hope of the nations, the hope of the citizens of your country. So I think the pride should always carry enough weight to resist all this match fixing temptation as a whole.
I mean, you were under BAM, and I mean the number of independent shuttlers now are quite small. So it's not fair to assume that all of them are involved in match fixing. But do you think there's more incentive for independent shuttlers to try rake in as much money as they can?
Well, because the terms of professional or independent players very much depends on which country you are in. Because a lot of foreign countries or maybe in a smaller squads national body, most of their players are also considered actually national players, and at the same time they are also independent players. So I would in all fairness, I would say that match fixing can happen to any players irrespective of whether you are from independent players status or you are in the national body. So I think it's a fair chance to that it can happen to anybody, or it should be resisted and say being rejected by all these players should they are offered.
Speaking about match fixing, and the same week where the two Malaysian shuttlers were implicated, when news first broke, it was the same time where two Sarawak football players were also nabbed by the MACC.
Okay.
And in Europe, 19 football players were arrested as well. Okay. Now, that's the whole match-fixing fiasco. But coming back to what you said earlier, Chunhan, there's this fixation of trying to nab the players.
Yeah.
But what about the bookies? Perhaps this is a question maybe, Kenny, you'd be able to answer. Do the international federations actually work with local enforcement agencies? Because I do know for a fact, or we all do know for a fact, that they've got no powers to arrest. But are they working with Interpol or with the respective local enforcement agencies?
I mean, that's a good question. But it's a bit tricky, actually. But as far as I know, BWF do work with the relevant authorities. BWF, it's based in Malaysia, and I do know that they do work with the relevant authorities in Malaysia, right? This one. But then BWF is an international body, okay? So it involves them in many ways. If let's say there's a match fixing in Japan, for example, it involves BWF. If there's a match fixing in Switzerland, it involves BWF. So BWF probably have to work with all these relevant authorities in these various countries, which I know they do. But the other thing is the jurisdiction or the control of BWF is basically among the member association, which are the countries, right? And the member association actually control the players. They are unable to control the bookies, right? So it's,
of course they can't control the bookies.
So that's that's the tricky. But I guess what BWF is doing, as I said, by creating this awareness, this campaign, so it will create that awareness in the players, and then the players, they realize that it's wrong. They should be clean and they should abstain themselves from all this. So when usually this thing, there's a willing buyer and a willing seller, right? So if there's somebody that is willing to sell but nobody is willing to buy, eventually the seller will just eventually just drop off. So I guess this is what BWF is looking at.
Chung Han, you have an academy right now. Are kids, are they shying away from the sport because of this match fixing, or is it too soon to tell, or do you think that it will have no bearing whatsoever?
Well, I think generally, kids being kids, they go for the sports. They train badminton. They involve in badminton training because they have the love and passion for the sports. Eventually, they for kids, their world is always smaller compared to the adults, and it's always very straightforward. If
more innocent.
I love the sports, more innocent, and then
just wanna have fun.
They just want to have fun, and then they just want to grow and become a better player, and eventually, hopefully, one day they will become the national number one or even the world number one, you know. And I think we wouldn't say that this will stop them from aiming to or visualize themselves to become one, but I will say that their parents will definitely take note of these cases. That's for sure. And they, I think that's a good ring of bell to the parents, because, you know, and the parents know that this is a real world, and this kind of things exist, you know, match fixing things exist, and it's a good reference case to share with the kids and let them know from young, when we are shaping their character, we are shaping their mindset, that they should know what is right and what is wrong, and what they can learn from this kind of episode, so that they can become a better human being.
I think with the view, especially of the kids wanting to be a professional shuttler, is there any, you know, education kind of base set up, you know, to educate the kids about, you know, the integrity of the sport and, you know, patriotism?
Yeah, I think shaping a kid's character and mindset from young, of course, we always know that co-curriculum, whether it's uniform activities or sports, is always very much encouraged by the school. And because sports involves many different elements, you know, you involve with a group of kids, and then they're always winning, losing. There are always a lot of discipline and a lot of resilience when the going gets tough, you know, a lot of all these upsets and things like that. This kind of challenge that the kids constantly facing during the training is always helps to shape them to become a better and stronger character from young. And I think at the same time, through this platform, there are a lot of opportunity to teach them to become a resilient to all this temptation, actually.
Coming back to betting companies are now sponsoring sport, and it does give the perception that, you know, betting is acceptable and, you know, it's part of sport now. What are your thoughts on this? You know, does it lead to an even darker future with all these companies coming in?
In whatever things that we do, there's always advantages and disadvantages, right? Sometimes we allow the thing to happen because advantages outweighs the disadvantages,
right?
So I wouldn't say whether we going to move to the dark side or not. I wouldn't even know whether by legalizing betting will be good or not. But it also, I guess, it depends. It varies from different culture, different country. Maybe for us, we are still not ready for legalized betting. But our neighbor Singapore is ready. I think you can bet legally. Any football matches, they just go to 7-Eleven or a shop.
Is that easy?
They just buy and they bet on the team that they want. They think they can win. So it also depends very much on the culture of the different countries. In Europe, they have accepted it, and they have moved. Even badminton in Europe, they have moved that direction. Yeah. Some tournament, they actually have a booth where you can bet matches. Mm. So yeah, it generate money for them. It's sometimes, not sometimes, especially nowadays, sports is very much commercially driven as well. Yeah.
Betting is close to my heart, not because I bet, but because I've been writing extensively about this, about betting and match fixing, and I have in the past repeatedly said that perhaps it is time for the government to actually consider legalizing betting, simply because not to encourage more people to bet, but to actually gain
some form of control.
Rules, number one, yeah. Control. Number two, you can earn from taxes, because millions, if not billions of ringgit go out of the country every week during EPL. And you know, the same goes whenever there's, you know, the Thomas Cup, when the World Championship. It's the same thing as well. Money is not regulated. It's going out of the country. So that was where I was coming from. But of course, people say sensitivity. Now, here's food for thought. The National Sports Council, they get an allocation of, funds between 40 to 50 million annually from Berjaya Sports Toto.
But there's not really betting per se, right? That one is... It's part of a CSR.
It's 40.
It's part of a CSR by a company. We want to be helping Malaysian sport, so we use this money to support Malaysian sport. It's probably people perceive it as a CSR practice by that particular company, right, in terms of their contribution to Malaysian sports.
Talking about betting and match fixing, now this is a moment of truth that I would love to ask Chok Han.
Yeah.
Were you ever approached, or have you heard of any players within your stable, your time, your team, who were approached by bookies or people who wanted to manipulate matches?
I think maybe it's okay for me to say that during my era, it was still less digital. So that we were
using Nokia 3310.
form of communication is not so advanced, and they aren't such a very, how should I put it, they aren't such a maybe mature platform for this kind of match fixing to be consistently, you know, happen. So I personally, no, I do not receive any offer before. Mm-hmm. Yeah, to say the truth. Mm-hmm. And also at that time, I think it was a very rare case that we often heard about all this actually. Mm. Okay. Yeah.
Kenny, you were quoted as saying Badminton Asia will not tolerate any form of match manipulation and will help BWF in fighting it. How can Badminton Asia assist the world body?
We will continue to support BWF by continue with their initiatives. We will be an extension of their activities, their campaigns. Whenever we have our own tournament, we have our Asian Championship. So we will continue to conduct such activities and such awareness program. And it's important for us to engage the players and the coaches and making them aware. And making them, I think the other thing that we want to do also as what Chun Han have said earlier, the pride, you know. Mm. We want the players to feel proud that they are badminton players, all right? Yeah. They are representing a country, they are representing the fans, okay? They are role models. The fans basically look up to them. They should be proud of that they are badminton players. So these are the kind that we hope will slowly eradicate the menace of match fixing.
Chung Han, can we sum this up, and how do we move forward from this episode?
Well, of course, it's a sad episode that we have this match fixing case going on now. But we should always look forward to and believe that we can make things better, you know. And I would hope that from this reference case that there will be no more future case involved in match fixing for all the players. And I do hope that also from the authority side and from the world body that they would consistently make the badminton world a better place for the players to play in a better environment and to make a better living out of it. And that is the fundamental point that I believe will drastically help the players to uphold their integrity even more. So I sincerely hope that, yeah.
Like I said earlier, match fixing is, there's nothing good about it. It will never bring any good to the sport, right? Eventually, we in badminton, we will just lose if this continues or this match fixing prevail. But the good thing about it is that there are awareness now. Mm. The good thing about it is the world body, the governing body is taking serious measures and serious steps to curb this. And we definitely hope that one day all the players will be proud badminton players and they will shun away from such things. But again, I have to say that there are still room for improvement, especially I've mentioned just now, BWF must continue to engage the public and the media to help them, and to they should not look at media as a threat, but should look as a partner in curbing this menace. Yeah.
Many thanks to Wong Chun Han, former world number one, as well as Badminton Asia Chief Operating Officer Kenny Goh, for joining us on the show today alongside Harish Deo. If you'd like to check out the interview again, do head over to our website www.pfm.my to download the podcast. But an easier way is by downloading our latest app via Google Play and the App Store. My name's Daryl Ong. This has been Bar None, the show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world. Thanks for listening, and do join us again next week, same time, right here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.